21 feet. You?
I'm going to convince him that he is loved.
You're a frog, I'm a frog. Ohatmu or Not covers the official handbook of the Marvel Universe Deluxe Edition, an encyclopedia series published from 1985 to 1988 by Marvel Comics. And we cover it with several panelists with little to no knowledge of the Marvel Universe, giving their first impressions of each character, its look, concept, and story. Warning, listener discretion is advised. Ohatmu or Not is a proud member of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. This is your host, Siskoid, and with me today are...
Amelie,
Isabel,
Natalie,
Chaudet,
Shotgun.
Episode 38, Foster, Bill, Two Frogmen.
A guy in a lab coat.
Cool.
Such excitement.
Bill Foster, or Foster, Bill. Mm-hmm. Bill Foster was the size-changing hero variably known as Giant Man and Black Goliath. He was a scientist who worked with Hank Pym, the original Ant-Man and Giant-Man, and was played by Lawrence Fishburne in the second Ant-Man movie. In the comics, Foster grew up in the projects, but his talent for science allowed him to go to a prestigious university where he became an expert in biochemistry and was hired by Stark Enterprises. When Hank Pym was trapped in giant form as a result of a rather terrible tweak to his Pym particles, Tony Stark suggested he work with Foster to find a cure, which they did. So Foster knew how to create the formula and turn himself into a giant to try and win back the love of his ex-wife Claire Temple. That's the character played by Rosario Dawson in the Netflix shows, pretending to be stuck in that shape to get sympathy from her. She was dating Luke Cage then, so it didn't work out. But since Foster had created a superhero identity for himself, he tried to use it for good. His career was short-lived, however, because he caught a dose of radiation from a supervillain and got sick, then spent the rest of his career trying to cure himself.
Oh.
He eventually got a blood transfusion from Spider-Woman, who's immune to radiation.
Sure.
And that did the trick, but interfered with his powers, so he retired. While active, he could grow to 25 feet, but usually kept himself trim 15. He was always a reluctant hero, unsure about whether or not he should be in the game, more at home in the lab than in action. Shown working with Hank Pym, fighting Luke Cage at the circus, and grabbing villains in his later Giant Man costume.
The circus is a good setting for a fight.
You know, you can fit inside the big top. Thinking like a comics writer.
I like page one. If we can stick to that look and...
The lab look?
Yeah. And not anything else.
Even at that, lab look is not doing anything for me.
I think it's hot. I think he looks hot.
You see me, it reminds me of my mother since she works in the hospital. So I'm like, no.
I don't have any traumatizing relatives who wear lab coats. So.
I don't know what this says about me as a person, but when the characters dress like I would dress, I like them more.
Okay.
This isn't a big stretch. Like, I would wear this. Like, okay, I don't have a lab coat, but like...
a nice white trench coat.
Yeah, I would wear this. 100%. Okay. Like, I would wear this.
The purple turtleneck?
Yeah.
That's pink.
I don't know.
Mike.
It is comic book purple. I'm sorry.
Whatever.
But yes, I would wear this, 100%. So that makes me like him more, which is dumb.
He's relatable, so you like him more.
Why did they name him Black Goliath?
It was the early 70s. Blaxploitation films were big, and Marvel was trying to, well, both companies were trying to have their own Blaxploitation type hero. So Luke Cage was one, but Black Goliath, DC had Black Lightning, they put black in front of stuff. Eventually, they changed his name to Giant Man, or simply Goliath.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you for the information.
Yeah.
He was ready, ladies and gentlemen.
What's going on with this neckline thing?
I don't know.
He popped it. It's those polo shirts from the 2000s where you had to pop them up to be cool.
But it seems so big. It's like he had a cape.
and someone cut off the cape. And then there was like a long bit that's staying there, so it just kind of popped it and went with it.
No, it's just that the effect of his power affects his body and his suit, but not the cape. Ooh. That's a normal size cape.
I don't think that's a coloring mistake. I think he had the ab window.
Oh, that's weird.
What? Oh, no.
Yeah, I think so.
No. Okay,
ab window is my new favorite
hashtag. Ab window.
Ab window is my least favorite word now, and I find that a very big flaw in the design.
I feel like if you're gonna do that, just give him a crop top.
No, but it's like don't. If you're self-conscious about like back fat,
then this guy doesn't have. Like, look at his abs. Do you really think?
No, just cover it. If you're gigantic and you're worried about back fat, your like tiny roll as a human being becomes a gigantic roll.
I agree, but I think if you have a six pack, you're probably okay.
Yeah. I'm confirming the.
Is it just like a three ab thing?
Yeah, because like one of them seems. One of his abs seems.
Can you show?
It's actually. Like you get the under pick, so
God, that's ugly.
Oh my God.
See, it's
wow.
Oh my dear God!
Who designed
right
this?
Right up to the nipple.
That's a very tasteful under boob.
Yeah, it's like I want under boob to belly button.
I hate everything about it.
I want to see this on an actual human.
Yeah, no,
magic.
It would have been Lawrence Fishburne. Lawrence Fishburne in the movie.
Google. We need cosplay.
God, no. Oh, I don't like it.
Like that feels like something they would put on a women character just to make her more like sexualized and everything.
Yeah.
Can't you sexualize men? I mean,
apparently they can.
Isn't that like the whole point of this show?
I mean, okay, yeah, yes. You definitely can. This is just a surprising choice.
You guys are forgetting it's the 70s.
Mm. All of
The necklines were like, I can see your belly button. Hello.
This is a neckline thing. That's what's weird about it. If it was a really deep V, I think I'd understand it. But this
a bit
is
like
just
on the other
like,
picture, basically.
This is like he ran out of fabric. It was like, oh, not, shit, well.
Not even. It's like if he had one hole and it kind of stretched out and he's like, I'll just cut it square and say it's a look.
Yeah,
but
it's a look.
Ugly. It bothers me deeply.
It's a weird fashion choice.
But imagine if you have like chest, like stomach hair.
I'm sure he waxes for those reasons. Oh. But yeah,
he's a scientist. He can figure that out.
He can wax.
Radiation, you know. More hair. It's perfect.
Should we talk about the other one?
There's so many suits.
He has three different outfits, which is pretty rare.
Oh yeah, if you count the lab suit, sure.
Yeah, his the casual, best outfit.
His casual lab suit.
Maybe that's the thing. His lab outfit is so freaking like a turtleneck, long sleeve, long coat. He has to show something while being Goliath or Giant Man.
It's very alter ego-y.
Yes.
Who is he holding in his hand? The woman over there.
I'm not sure.
Tiny people.
Is it his ex-wife? Because that's not a very good tactic to get her back.
No,
but the guy there also has a tiny cape.
Whoa. Tiny
Maybe
capes.
It's a fashion choice.
Yeah, tiny capes.
The gloves don't go all the way to his elbows.
To match the stomach.
It's just like it shrunk. It just shrunk. He got bigger and everything doesn't fit. Like it looks way too tight on his arm on the left.
On the legs.
It looks like it's
painted on.
Yeah, way too tight.
Man, the guy on the tiny guy in the corner has a chain for a belt.
Yeah, that's Power Man, Luke Cage.
Oh, that's actually Luke Cage?
That is Luke Cage.
Luke Cage has a chain or a belt.
Luke Cage is yellow.
It's a shirt.
It's a shirt.
Is it?
Yeah.
I mean,
it's got another one of those V-necks too, so we'll get to him eventually, I guess.
I don't know about this huge G on the belt. I feel like that's a little bit too much.
A step away, that belt is red and he looks like Eric from Little Mermaid.
Oh my god.
It's like bothered jacked me. Eric.
Oh, my Little Mermaid. Gigantic jacked Eric.
Holy shit.
Gigantic jacked.
That's so funny.
That's so true.
And he's one of my least favorite prints, so I'm just like,
he's so lame. He's boring.
What do you think of that ex-wife story?
Well, he's lying to her, right? That's what we've established.
That's very sad.
He's trying to make her feel pity.
I'm stuck
That's
like this forever.
Love me.
Maybe she'll want me if I'm bigger.
Yeah, that's gross. I don't like it.
No,
I don't like that story at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like,
but
at the beginning, I was like, oh, okay. And then just like,
It's
like,
just, it's manipulative, and you said which
she,
I don't like.
And you said she was seeing someone else. Did he stop trying to pursue her after he found out? Or he was just like, this is just
an obstacle. Well, it looks like there's a fight between the two boyfriends. But after that, he let it go.
At least he let it go and he didn't try to be a homewrecker.
They went to the circus, had it out.
Ate some cotton candy.
As you do.
It's like in those romance comedies when someone's like a spy or something and they're pretending to be a high school kid. And then they're lying about their name and their age and whatever, and then someone falls in love with them and then it's like, oh shit, now I have to be honest. Like,
yes, that film that's been made millions of times.
Never, 21 Jump Street.
Never been kissed.
Yeah, but also never been kissed and a bunch of those things.
Yeah, you're right.
Trying to keep up a lie. Like, that doesn't ever work. Ever. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
There's also the film with Hilary Duff that was similar to that. There was a spy somewhere in there.
That's terrible. Nothing is more synonymous with good films than Hilary Duff.
Harsh, but yeah. Why you wanna
be like that? I don't know if I'm into the little, like, string cord things.
I think I like it because it kind of looks like a military jacket.
I was going to say, would you wear a military jacket?
Yeah, I would wear a military jacket. I want one.
Nutcracker.
Yeah, I love stuff like that, but I wish there was something underneath it. I think it's because there's no shirt that it kind of looks strange.
It looks like it's the only thing keeping his shirt off.
Yes, it does. It's like, we're holding on to dear life.
Yeah, I like the look if it was a full shirt.
Yeah, if this was all like covered in the white material that his shirt is, I guess, I think that would look really great. Or a different material.
Maybe it's just like a sheet he wrapped around, and those are the only things that keep the sheet together.
I'd rather that it would be like just like a lasagna strap, just like a tank top, instead of having like full sleeves. It just being like maybe a V-neck tank top, that would look better.
Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate because I actually like him when he's in his normal attire.
I do like his like very small controlled fro.
Yeah, and he has a nice jawline, cheekbones.
I think
he has a good facial structure.
He's hot as a person.
Oh yeah, he's definitely good looking. I would date real Bill. I would date Bill, actually. That's the thing. I would date Bill, but not necessarily Goliath and giant man or whatever. I think that's how I feel about it.
Yeah.
What did he do again post being better but not being a hero?
Science.
So just science? Is it like good science? Or
well,
is it like,
you know how it is. Comics. Eventually, he comes out of retirement, and then during the Civil War event, which was bollocks, he gets killed by a clone of Thor we like to call Clore. And then they bury him. They bury him in a giant grave. It's terrible.
Oh, no. Did he die as a giant being?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
No, not just a giant grave for
just
one
for fun. Yeah. Well,
it's like a giant grave. He's tiny.
You know, why not? If something happens that during death, he becomes big and then pops out.
Ooh, that's not fun.
So you need a giant grave.
Or like, if he's close to like a small hill, there's just a random foot sticking out.
Decomposing foot.
My fave.
So I prefer to not think about the events of that miniseries.
Okay. What's his relationship to Hank Pym again? Like, is it good? Is it? I mean, I know what.
Yeah, in the movie, it was like strained, wasn't it? Yeah. It's like you stole confidential secrets from me, kind of thing. But I think they're good friends and work partners in the comics, as far as I know. I mean, Hank Pym's a bit of a mess.
Yeah. Really?
I think that's safe to say for basically every character we've looked at. Everyone's a bit of a mess.
There's not like Jane, the accountant. It's really stable.
There's always a reason why they become something.
And usually it's not a good one.
No.
It's not fun.
So is Bill Foster hot or not?
Well, Foster, Bill is hot. Giant man, Goliath, I will pass.
Yeah, it's like I'll date him, but we're gonna go shopping. And we're gonna change everything you think you know about style.
Ah, did I put everything in the wash and then the dryer and it shrunk? Ah, no.
Oh, no.
He's a scientist. He can figure out how to make that big again.
Yeah. That's a this whole thing, making things big.
The trick is to put baby shampoo and a conditioner in a sink.
See, you can do it. Never mind this mega science man.
Wait, did I drop your costume in the garbage disposal? Ah, I can't turn it off!
I'm a solid pass on everything.
And, like, beyond, like, dating the giant version would just be a pain in the ass. I don't want to date a giant person. Like, that seems complicated.
I'm already dating a giant person.
It's just, fine, you know, with giant person, though.
Well, he looks, like, really giant. Like, tall is fine. Like, if you're really tall, I get that. I mean,
there is some potential to it. Like, if you're hiking and you get hurt, he can take huge steps and bring you faster to the car to bring you to the hospital.
Yes, but imagine going on any date with a super gigantic person.
Okay, let's just assume that he can control it.
If he can't, right? For at least
you believe his lies.
I thought he couldn't for real for a while there, and then he could.
No, that was Pim. So he helped them change. Okay.
So he can control it?
If he can control it, then that's fine. I'm okay with that. But I don't love the look.
Like, imagine. I'm down with that. He can grow big and be shade for a while.
And then he gets heat.
Yeah, he's like, I'm dying here.
I have serious throwback to when we raided Leviathan. Well, I guess that was Colossal Boy. Yes, mm-hmm. When we did that, he was my first crush. So of course,
like ever.
Of course. So I'm interested. We'll see where it goes.
I was partners with Hank on a project called Goliath.
How big did you get?
My record, 21 feet. You? 65 feet. 65.
If you two are finished comparing sizes...
65.
Frankenstein's monster. In the Marvel Universe, the story of Frankenstein's monster is real. But you know how Mary Shelley's novel ends on the ice in the Arctic? Well, in the Marvel Universe, the monster is frozen in that ice and kept in suspended animation until the Victorian era, where he was found and revived, fought some vampires, was frozen again, and then revived in our time. Now he wanders the Alps region of Europe, fighting monsters, running from humans who fear him, his destiny often intersecting with that of Frankenstein's descendants. Though hideous, as he's sewn together from different corpses, he's quite sensitive. He mostly wants to be left alone, but keeps getting dragged into fights. He's pictured fighting a caveman, awakening in Frankenstein's laboratory, and protecting young women from danger.
Aww.
You prefer to be alone, but you get dragged into stuff. I feel you, man.
I love him. He looks very high fashion to me. Like...
Yeah. Like, this could be, like, the look of the fall. Like,
yeah, like,
yeah, absolutely.
Could literally be out of a magazine, like a fashion magazine. This outfit is the best, I think. It's so, like,
an Instagram influencer.
Yes, absolutely. He's gonna sell me tees.
I want the fur vest.
He has really big hands, mm-hmm. But not like we usually see. They're not like chunky. They're like big long. But slim and long. Like
those are some piano hands.
Yeah, they're not like terrifying.
They're real people hands. Yeah. Though. That's what's confusing about Frankenstein in general to me.
That, like other people, he's kind of real. Just matched up. Well, he's like mix and match.
He's always pictured as being very gigantic, which means that like the people that he's composed of were also pretty gigantic. Big people.
You're right.
Which is a weird thing. To me, like that's something I've always found very strange about Frankenstein.
That they just found
like they happened to find a bunch of really tall people
that were dead
and that would fit together.
Maybe it
somehow.
Was like one family.
Oh my god!
No, but
like a crypt, like a family crypt.
Yeah, they were like a three really tall brothers, and it's like, oh, he has bigger shoulders, or like, oh, he has nicer hands, and like he has like really one tiny feet though. Well, but the sister,
I love that his hair is red, but I'm not digging the haircut.
I don't mind the haircut. I like the bang.
If there's one thing, I wish it was just shorter. Like, if it was the same way up top, but shorter.
Here, too, he has more of the classic Frankenstein monster haircut.
I would like it black, honestly.
I like the contrast with the skin.
But yeah. What is a better contrast than white and black?
Actually, the hair is brown.
Is it?
That's not brown.
That's black. What's written right there.
Yes. Yeah, sort of a chestnut color. In comics, red would be like an orange.
Yeah. Speaking of chest, his torso is really small for the length of his legs. Is it just me?
I think it's where his pants go.
Yeah, I think he's just wearing kind of high-waisted pants.
Yeah, but the crotch doesn't seem
Yeah, man, he's just so trendy.
He's very fashionable.
But I think it's two things. I think it's where he wears his pants, but also the line that's like where his chest is. Like, those are some tiny ass compressed
legs. Like, they're really high up. It's not really that they're
He's wearing a corset and like bringing them up.
He's got like my proportions. Chest and torso,
to be fair,
but he's really tall.
He's a bunch of different people sewn together, enough. So you know,
if it doesn't all fit, it's
give him some credit.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
And he's still rocking those boots and that vest.
I absolutely love that pant. Boot combo.
Yeah.
I would go for this over any bucket boot or most of any boots we've seen so far.
Yeah.
I'm cosplaying this tomorrow. I don't know if you realize this.
Let's go shopping!
And also, I mean, later on he's saving a bunch of ladies. Like, this guy is great. I'm down.
I love it. I love the colors, too. I love that purple.
Are people biting him?
Yeah.
What's happening in this last movie?
What
the
are
woman in the red dress?
I'm too far.
Are those, like, goblins or something?
I was gonna say, is it those trolls or... Yeah, they're biting him. And look how sad. Like, she looks like, oh, shit.
But wouldn't you be like, oh, fuck, what's happening?
Oh, yeah, I'd be terrified. I do like her outfit in the other picture, though.
I'm always down for a, like, damsel in distress and large monster story.
It's endearing. I like them,
what
too.
What about speech?
Well, in the novel, he learns to read and speak by himself, by listening to other people and looking at books. So he's very smart. But in the movies, in the old Universal movies, it's...
So in the comics... He's really eloquent in the books.
Yeah, in the books, he's very eloquent. In the comics, they played it both ways.
How long does it take, though, for him to learn?
He's, like, hiding under the chicken coop and learning to read by himself.
I don't want to be under a chicken coop.
Well, probably
you don't have to.
Probably his brain had all that stuff in it already, somebody's brain.
Right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Well, yeah. So in the comics, they played it both ways. He was the eloquent monster of the book, but then they wanted to play him as the universal monster. They thought that's what they wanted to do with him. So they had him have an injury to his larynx. Yeah. Mm. So then he was speechless. And then when he was frozen and brought back to our time, the Frankenstein descendant of that time fixed him.
Okay. That's nice.
I like to think he has, like, really, like, gentle hobbies. Like, feeding ducks.
Yeah, he likes to garden.
But really exotic plants that are really hard to maintain. But he's like, I have a pineapple tree. Do you want some? And it's like, oh my god, yes!
I hope he has a really deep voice.
And he also has an Etsy page. Where he sells stuff that he's made himself.
Oh, he makes, like, birdhouses.
Anything that is wood sculptures.
Oh. And he sells
Has little birds that land in his hand.
And, like, he sells it for cost because he just wants the birds to have homes. That's how I imagine this guy.
We're creating such a great backstory right now.
I mean, some of us have read the novel, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Natalie's not coming from nowhere. The Etsy page is in the book.
On the second chapter.
Can I just say something about those rope belts? Like, those aren't practical. Why? Why? Okay. Like, I get that it's to make people look, like, raggedy or whatever.
Oh, but what you should actually get is that, like, a guy like this can't go shopping, so...
No, but, like,
if he has to get his pants pulled up.
He has pants, he has shoes, he has a shirt.
He has a lovely vest.
Intricate vest. Like, dude can get a belt.
Yeah.
Like, it reminds me of a guy we knew in high school that had shoelaces as a belt.
That always annoyed me.
It
had no purpose because it did nothing.
His pants were below his butt at all times. It was enraging.
Style, I should say.
Enraging.
And he didn't have a nice butt, so it was just a waste.
Okay, no, that's okay. No,
waste. Wasteful.
You know what I kind of love?
Wasteful. Waste.
Get out. Yeah. Oh. I'm sorry. The
remember
skeleton?
I kind of love the skeleton. It just looks so disappointed. I wanted to be inside the monster.
Oh
no, he's escaping. I'm alone again.
Oh. Why is he rap?
I wanted a friend.
Why is Frankenstein rap?
Because he's like waking up.
Yeah, that's like the beginning.
He's just I was like, is he in a mummy?
When they zap him, then he's all wrapped up.
You know, I went this second panel with the woman in the peach dress. I just feel like he's looking at someone off the panel going, call 911!
My name is Frankenstein's monster. I know CPR. Can I help you?
He's so sweet.
That's how you save lives, people.
Is Frankenstein's monster hot or not?
I think he's hot. Yeah, I think he's hot on surprising levels.
Yeah. I think this is one that will shock the audience.
Really? I don't think we're shocking the audience anymore.
I mean, he's eloquent and smart most of the time, and he's gentle, and he's kind, and makes birdhouses.
And he's made of corpses.
Hey!
What more can you want?
Clearly he's preserving himself fairly well.
He must moisturize every day.
It's the ice treatment.
Mm-hmm. How does it drizzle? It's a nightly ice bath, and you'll be alright.
For real, though. Wash your face with cold water. It's really nice. It helps.
I'm sure it is.
But how does he get clean? Is it specified somewhere?
Streams.
Okay, so he can wash. It doesn't, like, rot.
No, he's never been shown rotting or anything.
Does he have to, like, take the stitches out sometimes and put some new ones?
Yes. Because I imagine he's awakened with lightning, right? So yeah. That reawakens the circulation.
Yeah, yeah.
All the body parts technically come back alive, to life.
Sort of.
Okay.
So there's sort like, of. Is there blood flow?
Is there a smell? Itch? That's my only concern.
This guy can't, smelly. I can't imagine that he smells great. I'm going to be honest. Like that, I can't imagine. Maybe.
That's my issue.
Maybe he makes artisanal candles.
Yeah. Like this guy probably lights up incense.
Maybe he has like that musky smell that's not like terrible.
He just smells like pine.
Yeah. Like nature.
From all the woodworking.
What are you doing, Mike?
Doing the smell notes.
I'm showing all the smells that are on the page.
Oh. Okay, so I like him, especially everything we created out of nowhere right now without even knowing about the character inside the comics.
That's our
So life. I like him. Would I date him?
Yes. Yes, you would.
No.
I would too.
Yeah. Well, I'm available. I'll leave him to you. And I'll go date Giant Man.
I have a record of liking characters that were stuck in ice, so.
Good point. Fair enough.
Ice, baby.
It's Captain America, Frankenstein's monster.
Luke. That's how she found him.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you went ice fishing once and found your boyfriend.
He's 33, but does he look it? No.
He's actually 105.
You're a good-looking fellow, do you know that? People hate you, but why do they hate you? Because they are jealous! Look at that boyish face. Look at that sweet smile. Do you want to talk about physical strength? Do you want to talk about sheer muscle? Do you want to talk about the Olympian ideal? You are a god!
What?
Freedom Force.
Freedom Force. Editorial comment first.
Nope.
It bugs me that we get an entry for Freedom Force, but not for the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, which could have shown the memberships of both Magneto's original team and Mystique's 1980s team. This is very much the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, just like in the X-Men movies. They've just gone legit by hiring out their services to the US government. Indeed, they have Rogue in there, who was in the Brotherhood, but not in Freedom Force. Anyway, the rest are Mystique, Avalanche, Blob, Destiny, these last three we've seen, and Pyro. The extra-dimensional villain known as Spiral joined the team as well, and the second Spider-Woman, who isn't a mutant, was assigned to the team by the federal government. They've all got their own entries, many of which we've already seen. As a government team, they get pardons for their terrorist activities, but if they are ever caught committing crimes, all deals are off.
So, Suicide Squad.
But yeah. No suicides.
You know what? I'm annoyed that every time that there's a fat person in a team, he's always called Blob.
Yeah, it's always something like this.
There's also Stop the slug.
Not better.
Bouncing Boy.
Bouncing Boy was wonderful.
But it's always like, oh, can't you just associate it to like a... It's not just about his appearance.
It annoys me.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I feel you.
He kind of looks like Chris Farley a little bit. Oh, God, yeah. I'm not sure if that was true in the other picture because I don't remember, but in this one, he a
yeah,
little
but
bit.
Naming bigger people like Blob and everything, it's the lack of imagination, basically.
Oh, yeah, like it's just so like obvious and boring.
I hope these headshots are like in their headquarters. Just like a wall of like current employees. Spider-Woman 2 has a mom haircut.
Spider-Woman it's actually longer. You can see it like it cuts off.
Okay, well then if it's not a bob, then it's fine.
But no, if it would be cut there, it reminds me of the hair in Elastic Girl.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is very mom. Which is very mom hair.
I love Rogue's hair like that.
Yeah, really short. Huh?
It's really cool.
Maybe it's just me, but for some reason she reminds me of Hillary Clinton.
Oh,
yeah.
I see it.
100%. I'm not sure why. No,
it's... I definitely see it. Cheekbones,
the
hair.
Face structure, I think.
I think it's the eyes, too.
The hairstyle, hair maybe, too?
Like the pushback hairstyle. Yeah, no.
Yeah, definitely.
Just put her in
Evelyn
a suit.
Just looks like a thimble. I think, like, if just these disembodied heads, they always look kind of silly.
Yeah.
But yeah, with the entire outfit, sometimes the outfit can save it.
Yeah, but this looks silly.
Me, it always reminds me of those 70s, 80s grad pics where you were there, but then you had a floating head that was just like...
Oh my god.
They were weird and...
I know we'll discuss it more when we see her, but I must say that I actually really, really enjoy the classic Mystique look.
Mystique is cool.
The not naked Mystique.
Yes, exactly. The skull belt and everything, I love it.
What's the main difference between the old crew and the legit crew?
Well, when the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants, under Magneto, was like a much older team, obviously. It was like the first opponents that the X-Men had. And they included the Toad and some of the other characters that we saw in the movies. So Toad, Mastermind, Scarlet Witch, and Quicksilver were members of that team because they were the children of Magneto back in the day, in the comics.
Yeah.
So that team faced off against the original X-Men. And then in the 80s, this was the Evil Mutants. So nobody in common or anything. Just Mystique just started a new team with these guys. And then Rogue was her adopted daughter.
Okay.
And so Rogue was a villain. And then Rogue got, you know, through stories, Rogue got turned to the good side and joined the X-Men. Mm-hmm. But she does consider Mystique her mother. Mystique's actually like Nightcrawler's mother or something.
Scandalous.
X-Men.
It's so like, much sex.
X-Men is mostly a soap opera.
So basically there's still an evil team, but with the blessing of the government.
Right. And Mystique kind of used her connections by becoming other people. So that she created, you know, a government, a need for the government to use them, and then created her own opportunity so that they would not be hunted down anymore and get a paycheck.
That's a good deal.
You know what? Proactive.
And the name is kind of propaganda, the Freedom Force.
Yeah, it sounds really propaganda.
Yeah.
So is the Freedom Force hot or not?
They're very blue.
The thing I don't like about them, they just don't seem to match. They don't go together. It's just mix matching.
Randos.
There's
no theme.
I mean, they don't have... They might be under the direct supervision of the government, but they can't, like, use the government budget to buy some suits. They're not the X-Men.
But the X-Men can't do that either.
No, but they can fund them.
Yeah, but you don't have to have a matching outfit to look like you work together. Like, we've seen other teams that, like, mesh.
Well, maybe that's the point.
This is clearly just like, we're all kind of criminals.
Woo!
Well, just, I think it doesn't help that a lot of them are like blue and silver and white, and then randomly others aren't.
Mm. Yeah.
Especially in the picture when they're
shown
together.
Yeah, like on the bottom picture, like the first three, it's like, okay, they go together.
Yeah.
They probably should have mixed it. Probably if they put one that was more red and yellow, like in between.
That would be more flashy, yeah.
So it's the person who drew his fault.
Yep, agreed.
Looks like John Byrne.
John Byrne.
You messed up.
I don't know.
They don't excite me, I guess.
Yeah, they're a bit boring. Much like Freedom Force is kind of like a generic sounding name.
Yeah, like I think individually some of the characters are really cool, but as a team I just don't love them.
Do they have a theme song? That could sell me. They have a theme song.
Freedom Force! Freedom Force! Freedom Forcing! Freedom Force!
We're forcing freedom on people. Understand, sometimes the clothes do not make the man. All we have to do now is change these lies and make them true somehow. Yeah, yeah. Freedom. 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 What you say?
I was not expecting this.
Oh my god, the name.
I love it.
Oh, I can't.
The meat.
This
is so stupid. I love it.
Let's let people know what it is.
What is going on?
Yes. What do you think?
Yeah, guess in the comments.
You're wrong.
An F. Well, don't scroll. Don't
they
cheat.
They don't need the comments because the episode's going to be called.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
episode 38.
Yeah, you know, but
Bill
us.
Foster to Frogman.
It was a surprise.
We were all shook.
Frogman. So Vincent Petilio was an inventor who built electric-powered coils that could allow you to leap 100 feet. It didn't make him rich overnight, so he turned to crime as a supervillain. as the supervillain.
He should have waited more than one night.
at least two.
So he turned to crime as the supervillain Leapfrog. After he got out of jail, because obviously.
Did he spring himself out of jail?
Thurn. He reformed and raised his son Eugene to do better.
Okay, I thought you said racist son.
Raised this time. Eugene felt bad for his dad and sought to redeem his legacy by taking the old costume and fighting crime with it. The fabulous Frogman was born. That's how he called himself. When he helped Spider-Man by accidentally, defeating the villain known as Speed Demon. His dad was proud of him, but was never quite supportive of his awkward and clumsy career as a superhero. He even stopped him from joining the Defenders by dragging him back home in front of the media.
Oh my god!
Though out of his depth, Eugene is such a big superhero fan, it's the only way he knows how to do good. At the end of the day, he just wants to make his father happy and carry on in the proud Frog family tradition. He's pictured jumping at a group of thugs in an alley.
I love everything about this guy.
This made my week worth living.
It looks
like, oh my god,
like he somehow got into a Kermit the Frog
part. Okay. My favorite is his eyes. He's a mouth. That's so funny.
He's a mascot. He's a mascot like, with springs.
I love it so much.
No, that's how he bounces on the fields to cheer.
Oh my god. Man, his story just makes me want to cry. Yeah, like, this really is a movie. This guy is a movie. Yes.
You hear that, Sony?
Come on, you have to do this.
But it has to be like a quiet indie flick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Iron Man 2. Everyone's a bit sad.
Why is there a chest belt
to hold on to the
jetpack? Whatever that jetpack.
He has a jetpack.
Well, no, it's an electric battery for the coils.
The power source for the boot spring is a gel cell battery powered 300 volt capacitor accumulator. His power pack,
which he wears on his back. I don't think I've ever seen a costume that looked more handmade.
This one clearly was made, like, not by an expert. And I love that about it. Like, everything about this is silly.
Like, in my mind, it's a bunch of stuff he kind of found at Walmart. Like, the flippers are kind of from Walmart, and he just kind of added material. The gloves are kind of cleaning gloves, and the underwear is just the Speedo he found somewhere, and the rest is, like, kind of spandex. Like, it just... I'll just put it together and it will work.
I can't get over the face. It actually looks like he has these two front teeth with their
Yeah. I think what I love about it.
I think that's my favorite thing that you can see is real.
What I love about it, I think the most, is the in my head, inside that costume. He's like... He's really jazzed about it. He thinks it's really fun. Because you can, like, tell in his eyes.
He's like happy.
Oh my god, guys! See, sometimes partners with the toad.
There's a toad?
It makes me so sad that his dad embarrassed him in front of everyone.
In front of the media.
It's so right.
It's just so wholesome. How jacked he is.
Yeah.
As a frog. That's nice really legs. Funny.
I'm digging the way he's bouncing off things and like flipping midair.
In my head, he has a bunch of friends and it's really funny. Like, I really hope they all hang out in the costumes together.
I just love the fact that he's so enthusiastic and like a hero fan and he's clumsy and basically he's me.
And I just love that he's not a frog. Because, like, at first I'm like, oh, what a weird frog. But no, he really is weird a frog human. Man. And I love that. I love that he's not, like, a weird mutant frog. Fuck that. He's just a dude he's in like, a costume.
He's the frog Iron Man.
Like, on a casual Saturday, he can just be Eugene. But at night, he's Frogman.
I forgot that his name was Eugene. Yeah,
which I'm totally down for.
Eugene Paul Petilio.
I love it.
It's kind of like Beetle, but way better because that was like a makeshift costume too. But this is way better.
What does his theme song sound like? It's epic in my mind.
Like, he looks like jumping around and flipping in midair and then pausing.
Frogman!
And plenty of spring sound effects.
The bottom image has like diver form.
Like he's practicing on trampolines constantly. His favorite places is the trampoline park.
Yeah, I kind of wish we could see his face.
You can. Look if you look real close.
No, but I do want. Does he have brown hair?
No, red.
Red hair.
You're outshot.
Brown eyes. Yeah.
We'll just make him keep the suit
on. He's your size. He's 5'8".
Yay! I hope he calls his apartment his lily pad.
Oh, yes.
I hope he sleeps in it.
In the costume? Okay.
I'm not sure which part.
In the costume, the lily pad.
In the apartment. Got it.
I think I know the end. Oh, excuse me.
No, I was going to say something terrible.
Go for it.
When he dies, he croaks.
I think I know the answer, but is Frogman hot or not?
He's so hot! Yes!
Hell yeah!
We're blessed to have seen this.
Hell yeah!
But after all this, I will Google Eugene Paul Petilio to find his face.
I don't even care.
Find his face.
I don't care at all. I'm down. I like that we started this episode with a guy in a lab coat, and then we got to this.
The full spectrum is here.
I'm committed to everything about this guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Love it.
He's still a high school student at this point.
Pardon me?
Oh, no.
Says here, student in high school.
I guess that makes sense. With the dead.
But he's still active today, so he can't possibly still be in school.
No, he's an adult now.
Okay, good. I feel safe.
I really want this movie.
I would definitely go see a Frogman movie.
Friggin' right.
I mean,
get on that and Squirrel Girl as well.
We're just into animals, really.
Clearly. I mean, I think we've established that. Like, our favorites are always the animal characters.
Or the quiet...
monsters.
Monsters that have been mistreated.
Armadillo.
Have you been abused? We love you!
Are you half an animal? We love you! Dragon Man. Seriously.
God, Dragon Man.
I think he's my, like, favorite.
Top five, beast. For sure. I think we have a theme going on. You're a frog, I'm a frog, kiss me. And I'll turn into a princess of me. Done with it, peanuts, mama, chompe, I do it, sans faux snot. T'as fun, c'est dur, tu es en fait de mon nom. Ton petit dernier, on l'a guetté au nez. T'es peut-être pas beau, mais je te trouve bien élevé. Pis tu chiales pas. You're a frog, I'm a frog, kiss me. And I'll turn into a princess of me. Done with it, peanuts, mama,
Art credits: Bill Foster by Mark Bright, Frankenstein's Monster by Val Mayerick, Freedom Force by Paul Smith, Frogman by Cary Gamble.
Come back.
Back through the Fire and Water Network.
Come
back with the Supermates.
I said, come back.
Back to
the House of Frankenstein.
The Supermates present four blood-curdling films with an all-star cast.
Lon Chaney Jr.
I know you'll think I'm crazy, but in a half an hour the moon will rise and I'll turn into a wolf.
Gary Busey.
I'm a little too old to be playing the Hardy Boys Meet Reverend Werewolf.
Christina Ricci.
I'd love to have a tame one, but I wouldn't have the heart to cage him.
Corey Haim.
I want you to turn this into a silver bullet.
Bela Lugosi.
You should be careful. A person can get killed that way.
Johnny Depp.
No, you must believe me. It was a horseman, a dead one. Headless.
Peter Cushing.
Have you heard of the cult of the undead?
Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Do you know what could happen if I meet Dracula in the woods?
I'll bite.
Oh, no, you gotta stand in line.
Plus four monstrous battles with your favorite comic book heroes.
I sense you're trying to resist this evil, Batman. Open your mind so I can help you.
Destroy me, Jean.
Booster Gold, Vampire Slayer!
This September and October, come back to the Fire and Water Network and the home of horror and heroes.
I believe you're in the House of Dracula right now.
No, wrong address. Come back to the House of Frankenstein.
Back. Back.
Yes, Master.
Keep these on Dracula.
Female bag.
Woo!
We're talking about episode 37, Fool Killer, Forge, The Forgotten One, and Dominic Fortune. Gotta say up front, not a lot of comments about The Forgotten One. I think people sort of played that up as a joke. But here we go. General comments first. Chris Franklin says, now the girls have me wondering why it's not hologramming instead of holographic. Great episode as always. Siskoid's voice was so incredibly manly, I think I just developed ovaries.
That's relatable.
Relatable.
Bradley Man said, great episode. Thanks for making my day less boring. Ted Kilvington said, I've had an earworm for Frankie Lyman and the teenagers for a week now, which is one of the clips I played. I thought I was over it, but then this episode brought it back. Not cool, dude.
Yeah. Anything, Mike?
Michael Wagner says, is this the closest that the girls have come to breaking Siskoid?
No.
Yeah. On the show?
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't know us in real life.
Yeah, no.
No. In the
Show, maybe,
in the
though.
Show, I, yeah.
In the show, yes.
You were about to, like,
exasperate.
Yeah, you were just like, you are, guys are so dumb right now.
In everyday life, we see each other a lot, and we're all very annoying.
As you can tell by listening to us.
Yeah. It's not about breaking anyone, because I think we're all already broken.
Oh.
The thing. Time Priest says, yes, I'm keeping it. So Time Priest says, forgot to give Jose a shout out for the name reading. Well done.
Yeah. I practiced for a whole week in advance. It's so sad.
Yeah, so anyone who commented after she got the list.
Well, you want to give hope out there to people with dyslexia?
Practice?
There you go.
Hard work, endurance, patience, and strict discipline.
Yeah, there you go.
And then wavering devotion to the Pope. Fool Killer. Let's look at Fool Killer. Ange says, definitely could be the Dr. Ange of Earth 3. Depending on how overtired or under-caffeinated I am, many can be deemed fools by me. My coworkers always tell me that I don't suffer fools lightly when it interferes with the efficiency of my work. Glad I'm usually caffeinated enough to work through issues and not skeletonize people.
Oh my goodness.
Now that's relatable to me. Eric says, the second Fool Killer's criterion for foolishness varied from story to story, but generally he seemed to target people with no poetry in their soul.
Oh.
His motto was, live a poem or die a fool.
Oh.
Okay, that I like, actually.
I love.
Since the original Fool Killer's calling card was discussed, the ladies might be interested to know the full text of the card. Fool Killer. E pluribus unum. You have 24 hours to live. Use them to repent or be forever damned to the pits of hell where goeth all fools. Today is the last day of the rest of your life. Use it wisely or die a fool.
Jeez. So was there a chance to redeem yourself out of fool?
Yes.
What can you do?
Repent.
I know, but like...
Read a poem.
Like, what is good enough for him not to kill you? Volunteer?
Vera Wild says of Fool Killer, I was shocked to realize how long the Fool Killer has been in comics. I picked up an issue in a quarter bin at Earth Prime Comics in Burlington, Vermont, to send to Professor Allen, who is a podcasting friend of ours, just to prove him wrong in his assertions that there are no quarter bins in New England. I grabbed it just because it looked ridiculous and I assumed it was a recent creation. And as unremarkable as his current look is, this era is just a big old hit of go back and change into something less stupid. I'm not being seen in public with you looking like that. So that's a not. Hashtag, what the fuck is that, Bill?
Yes!
Kurt Onstad. Kurt says, I had to go on Google search to try and find anything about Fool Killer's belt. From the picture in Ohotmu, I figured it was supposed to be two guns pointed in opposite directions. But then you look at other artists' interpretations, and you get everything from a shellfish-looking thing to what appears to be a genie's lamp.
So that no one knows.
No one knows.
Oh my God.
Tim Price says, hashtag what the freak is that belt? So clean. In some comics, I could swear his belt buckle looks like a spiral seashell, like this one. He sent me a picture. This one called a shark eye or a moon snail. What does that have to do with killing fools? I have no idea. Just best not to think about it. A very important feature of the costume, that red scarf attached to his hat, can act as a short-distance parachute.
Ooh,
if he jumps off a three- or four-story building, holds the hat in one hand and the end of the scarf in the other, and floats gently to the ground. Again, don't think about it. Comics.
Physics. We don't know it.
And Ward Hill Terry says, so many of these characters are ripe for the abuse you give. Fool Killer, what the hell is the timeline? Criminal career for 2 months? Arrest, trial, conviction, 6 months? Rehabilitation, reform, medical school, new job, 8 months? You know, it all happens so quickly, you know. His nutty belt is not even close to being a problem for me. Next up, we had Forge. Ange says, looks so much like Freddie Mercury here, I'm surprised he wasn't in the M issues under Mr. Fahrenheit. I'm not a big X-Men fan, so I have a hard time wrapping my head around his powers. He seemed to be a walking Deus Ex Machina. If only we had a hairdryer that would vaporize Galactus. Let's have Forge build us one. I'm not sure that's how it was played. Mike W. from Saskatchewan says, yeah, the hologramic discussion was illuminating. Siskoid, I think that's the closest I've ever heard you to being frustrated.
It happens a lot more than that.
Yeah. That's, I'd say that's my go-to emotion.
That's constant emotion.
That's my normal.
Yeah.
That's my baseline.
Yes. Yeah, what are you? Sometimes you're happy.
And that's the strange.
That's the strange. Yeah. They're like, are you okay?
Yeah, people will go, oh.
Like, what? Like when he's alone with a cat, he's like, oh yeah, this is good. And as soon as people are coming, he's like, oh God, people. Man. Annoyed.
What are our go-to emotions?
Fear.
Loud.
I have the emotion of loudness.
Yes. I have no clue.
Glitter. There's glitter on my shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, there is.
Fear might be mine as well. You're just like your cat. Yeah.
And you... Not angry.
Music.
It's a mix of worry and angry. Let's see, who else? Kurt Onstad said, I'd love to hear what was on the cutting room floor. I was getting frustrated on your behalf. Vera Wild says, over the course of the conversation on Forge, I realized that while I've always had a soft spot for the character, he's actually never had a very good fashion sense. Mm-hmm. I got to know him when he was rocking the yellow and blue spandex with fringe boots and the headband, and I honestly don't know if that's better or worse than the jogging shorts. Also, as I've gotten older, the cynic in me has a hard time shaking the fact that this is the kind of character who exists as a logistical solution first and a character second, because eventually the writers felt the need to explain how the X-Men had all that high tech that they do when they don't have government funding like S.H.I.E.L.D. does. So they make Forge and boom, they can point to him and answer, when did they get that doohickey? There, Forge did it.
See, that's how the X-Men get their outfit, Forge.
He makes the outfits.
He's also a seamstress?
Oh.
I'm surprised that none of the girls mentioned the hazard of visiting his house while wearing a skirt or a bathrobe.
I thought about it, and then I said, I would just not wear.
I would be screwed.
Actually, that'd be terrible. No, I want to keep wearing skirts and dresses.
Yeah.
I always have shorts underneath.
It's me too, actually. What am I saying?
Actually, I am too. Okay.
This is the first, this is the first pair of pants I wore in 3 months.
If I'm perfectly honest, most of the time, I don't really care. Like, the equivalent of walking around with a bathing suit bottom. Who gives a shit?
You see, I don't wear bathing suit bottoms. I don't wear bathing suits often.
It goes in bikini tops.
So, Christ, no.
Skinny dipping every time.
Oh my god.
She's not even putting a freaking toe in the ocean, so it's fine.
I would not be caught dead. Mostly naked on the beach.
I guess if you can invent a backstory for Frankenstein, we can invent a backstory for Josie. Tim Price says, I swear I thought Siskoid's head was going to explode during the hologram holography discussion.
I am not sorry.
So it's a screen?
We still got some messages about the Forgotten One. Eric says, I know that the artist's identities are generally discussed apart from the credits at the end of the episode, but I think it's interesting that this entry was drawn by Larry Lieber, Stan Lee's younger brother.
Oh. Is he also the Forgotten One?
Yeah, that's it. The Forgotten Brother.
Wait, is Lee short for Lieber?
Yep.
Interesting.
Vera Wild says there's nothing really wrong with the Forgotten One, but over-muscled almost never does it for me, and that seems to be pretty much all he has going for him. I find myself forgetting him as soon as my eyes get off the image. So it's a knock.
Hey.
Tim Price says, I might have had comments on the third character, but I forget. And Aaron Bias says the Forgotten One is Gilgamesh, which is cool because his dislike of tyranny jives with the epic's arc where Gilgamesh is a tyrant who learns humility, mostly due to the influence of meeting his equal, the hairy wild man Enkidu. Speaking of which, is the Epic of Gilgamesh the first recorded hero fight? Yes, Aaron, it is. It's the first literature.
We learn something every day, guys.
Dominic Fortune. He was quite popular. Fortune Dominic. He says,
Dominic.
Now here's a character I love. As a fan of pulps and secret agents, he's sort of a 1940s James Bond. His stories always crackle. He's most definitely a Howard Chaykin character. That's the artist. A Russian Jew, great pilot, ladies' man, liberal who is exhausted fighting against the system, excellent fighter. We see those traits in so many of his characters. Thankful the girls found him hot. Mike Dennis says, by sheer coincidence, I just read in the last couple of days the Marvel team-up story with Spider-Man and Fortune, Dominic, where they battle Turner the Century. This one. And it was weird.
Excellent.
Turner the Century loved old people and wanted to kill young people by using a sci-fi bicycle horn. I will just have to leave it where it is.
Wow.
That's everything I've ever wanted.
Well, it's a Marvel
team-up. And more.
Chris Franklin says, I believe Dominic Fortune was Howard Chaykin basically reviving the Scorpion character he created for the short-lived Atlas Seaboard line of comics, which was ironically published by Marvel founder Martin Goodman. After Atlas went belly up, Chaykin brought the general look of the character with him to Marvel and gave him a new name. Kurt Onstad here says, as someone who is and is the roommate of a person whose legal name is David, this is Kurt. Okay, so Kurt's real name is David. His roommate is called David. He goes by a different name, so he completely understands why Dominic Fortune would change his name from David to Dominic.
Nah, I
David can't. Is just way too common.
These are the Daves I know. These are the Daves I know. These are the Daves I know. These are the Daves I know.
Many of us have to go by different names just to avoid confusion. That wouldn't happen to anyone else.
Nah.
I don't know any other names where this would be a thing.
Not at all.
Yes, Isabelle and Isabelle.
We have two Isabels. That's not clear.
That's why there's a shotgun. To kill one of them. No, I mean. There's a shotgun. Yeah.
Is it me? Am I the one that's going to die?
You're not the shotgun, so. And then we've got Tim Price, or rather, two for the price of one.
Hey! Yay!
That's the name, yes.
They need also a theme song.
Yeah, well, for Fool Killer drools. He's just stupid. You got to let the fools live, or who be stupid for us?
That's so
you
true.
You go, girls.
The girls then say, Forge rules. He looks pretty cool, especially since he helps the X-Men. Forgotten One rules. But why is he got to fight Thor? Fortune, do you like his character, but not his face?
Same.
And then Tim says, unfortunately, the girls gave me the do we have to do this tone this time around. This segment's days may be numbered.
Which is a bummer because we just thought of a name.
And then Facebook likes and shares and all of that, which was going to be read by Elise. Fortunately, you haven't heard her voice tonight. She's in Vermont on family business.
Making pie.
She's making pie.
She was making quiches earlier.
Yeah. So, hi, Elise, if you listen, if you're listening to this,
hi.
Which I doubt. So I'll just read them real quick. On Facebook, Abel Padilla, Brian Linton, Brian Rosen, Chris Franklin, Christopher Bendorf, D. Bash, Gautam Shoren, Gene Hendricks, Guillaume Berube, Max Romero, Mike Peacock, Nicholas Brom, Rob Kelly, Ryan Daly, Shag Matthews, Sean Strawbridge, Thomas Fovey, Todd Colley, and Van Z on Google Plus, Gene Hendricks of the Hammer Strikes. And on Twitter, Ange, Rob Kelly Creative, who thinks maybe Dominic Fortune was the first character the girls gave a round of applause to.
We're still fitting in his outfit after years.
Yes, we did that.
Maybe. Chris Lewis, Coffee and Comics, Comic Reflections, David Gallagher, Dr. G Nerdologist, Dylan A. Lange, Gal Walks Into a Comic Shop, Into the Weird, The Irredeemable Shag at Firestorm Fan, Jeff and Rick Present, Justice's First Dawn, Max Romero with Plastic Man in the Mirror Factory, Nathaniel Wayne, Podcast Partners, Pointless Ephemera, Punch Like a Girl, I guess it's now Tough Like a Girl, Rhett, Richard Dupuis, Russell Rosenkild, Scott X, Sketch Cover Comic Cast, The Hammer Strikes, Tim Price, Vanessa Corvis, Vera Wild, Warlock Thanos Podcast, Willie Yarbrough, Xenozoic Xenophiles, and Zoom Yukonori.
Yeah!
All right, well, that's it. Next time, we actually finish this issue.
Holy shit!
Woo!
What? And my hair isn't even gray yet.
Is this the third?
Fourth? No.
What year is it?
Say goodbye.
Bye. Goodbye!
Bye. We love you!
Keep listening!
Leave us comments wherever you can find the podcast, whether the Fire and Water Network website, the Fire and Water Network Facebook page, or through Twitter. The hashtag is FWPodcasts, plural. We'd love to hear from you about, well, I guess these four characters and concepts, but on the show in general. Until next time, be hot, don't be not.
And soon it will be a special number 40 episode thing. Yeah.
You mean the Shirley Temple special?
Yeah, the Shirley Temple.
It's quite spoilers. Special, clearly. Can we call it the number 40 episode thing?
Sure.